Hi there. You're about to listen to the podcast version of the Naked American Songbook from WNYC. Due to copyright law, we can't provide all the music for on-demand listening, which is what the podcast version is. Alas, the show must go on without it, but you can still hear my conversation with Rachel Dratch and get a little taste of the music that she loves. Dim the lights. It's showtime. Remember privacy? It used to be a thing, right? The right to privacy, right? The right to privacy now seems like a quaint vestigial organ from a body that keeled over a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Kids today can't even imagine. They wouldn't want to share even the most banal moments of their lives. So what is the deal? Why the sharing? What are we looking for? What do we get in exchange for all the shared minutiae? Oh, that's right. Connection. All right, then. Let's connect. I'm Julian Fleischer, and this is the Naked American Songbook. Songs make families. A wise human once told me that songwriting is all about finding your way back home. The tune starts in a key or a note, wends its way around for a while, then eventually makes its way back to that key or note where it began. It's home. Now, what's true musically is just as true emotionally, psychically, spiritually. When we find a song we love, it becomes a kind of home, a familiar place we return to again and again for all the reasons that we go home again. And if we find someone else who also loves that song, well then suddenly we find we're sharing our home. And, well, that makes a family. My guest today, Rachel Dratch, describes herself as having been a theater nerd. And we all know what that means. Lonely, scared, uncool, lost soul, cast adrift upon an angry sea of pop music, clinging desperately to a tiny piece of driftwood, hoping against hope that someone somewhere will send a rescue team. But here's the thing. No team has a better record of lives saved, of a stronger bond, of a deeper love than theater nerds. So when one lost theater nerd finds her tribe, she's good to go for the rest of her life. That's family. I'm so happy that Rachel owns her own inner theater nerd with such gusto. So to bring her on today, I'd like to share one of my all-time favorite numbers from deep inside the theater nerd catalog, the appropriately entitled Home from The Wiz. Welcome aboard, nerds. This is the Naked American Songbook.
When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. I wish I was home. I wish I was back there with the things I've been knowing. When that makes the talk.
I don't even know where to start. If you wanted to know why the original Broadway cast recording of The Wiz is the only album I have owned in every single conceivable format, that song is why. Stephanie Mills, Charlie Small's Home, the climactic closing number from The Wiz. I play it not only to indulge my own seemingly bottomless need to hear it over and over and over again, but also because I think it pertains somehow in its super-duper theater nerdiness to my guest this week, a self-professed theater nerd. The one and only Rachel Dratch. Now, I was planning to refer to you as TV's own, but that would be obviously selling you short because you're also theater's own. Am I right?
Yes, I'm comedy's own, the world's, I don't know.
You belong to the
fine.
World. You
no,
belong
whatever
to
you wish.
The city?
New York's.
New York's Rachel Dratch. Ladies and
yes.
gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well known from television's Saturday Night Live. Is that typically how you get introduced?
Yeah.
And does that eventually wear on your spirit?
Oh, no.
It
was fun. It's the dream job, so I'm cool with leading with that.
But what else? Tell me a little bit about what else you're up to.
You know, I've been doing little theater things, and like I did an off-Broadway show on television.
Which I saw and enjoyed.
Oh, right, you saw,
much,
yes. Mo Rocca's in it, was in it, yeah.
Nailed it.
Theater, TV, guest spots, what have you.
You're Rachel
Comedy,
Dratch.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to. You're sui generis. And it's foolish to try to describe you.
Do not pigeonhole me.
Yeah, don't, because you will pay. Rachel, you have brought a list of really interesting songs from the Great American Songbook and maybe even from the edges of that songbook.
Okay. You know, confession, I had to Wikipedia Great American Songbook you know, I saw the names of the composers and then I thought, well, is this an actual book or is this like a, is this like a time period? You know, I didn't know the term Great American Songbook.
And what did you learn when you looked it up?
Well, it just gave me a lot of composers' song examples.
Well, it's a constant subject of debate.
People
cannot agree on when the songbook started, when it ended, or who decided even to call it that or who coined the phrase. So, I mean, people do argue a lot about what is this canon and, you know, who gets to decide what songs belong in it and what don't. But I think typically, you know, 1925 maybe to maybe 1960, when this group of composers, due to a whole set of circumstances, ended up doing the same thing and doing it really well. And they came up with this catalog of tunes that, you know, exists sort of in a timeless place and everybody continues to love them.
Right.
So you went right for it, though. I mean, your first choice is Cole Porter, who may well be the reigning king of the songbook.
I mean, all right. So I did okay.
It wasn't a test, Rachel.
Well,
Dratch.
I feel like it was.
Do you feel like you've passed
it? No, only because it brought me back to old assignments, because I was always doing everything last minute. But I just picked ones that I had little associations with.
Let's talk about this.
Okay, just warning, a lot of my songs have theater nerd origins to why I picked them.
Are you, in fact, a theater nerd?
Well, possibly. I mean, I, you know, I did all, like, school plays and summer theater camp, and I was in the musicals in high school and stuff like that. So that was sort of my exposure to a lot of
I think that's typical of how a lot of people, at least people of in our generation, and I assume we're somewhat close to each other's age. We don't have to go into detail.
I think we are.
I hope I'm as young as you. Let's
just say that.
Younger than springtime.
Oh, nice.
But I think our exposure came from summer camp and school plays and what have you. And, you know, some kids sort of fell in love with that kind of music and others beat those kids up.
Right.
But I want to talk about Tom, Dick, or Harry, one of your choices from The Great Kiss Me, Kate, which may be Cole Porter's crowning achievement, that musical. And this song in particular is one of my favorite tunes.
Oh, wow.
I sing it all the time to myself.
Okay.
So when you wrote it down, I thought, oh, this will be fabulous.
Okay, so in my senior year of high school, I had the lead in the musical of Kiss Me, Kate. Not Kate, whatever, the second lead.
Bianca.
The Lois Lane slash Bianca part. The reason I thought of this is because I have a history of, like, I never would be the lead right away. Like, I'd be sophomore year, the chorus.
Right.
Junior year, Amaryllis and the Music Man. Little side part.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a pattern of that all through my whole acting career. Like, I never got anything the first time. Like, I just always inched my way up the scale, kind of.
So do la re ti mi a little slower, and please keep the fingers curved as nice and high as you possibly can.
But those are always the choice roles.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean,
like, Adelaide is the role you want to play,
yeah,
not
Sarah.
Oh,
no, but this, no, but Kiss Me, Kate was like, I made it, you know,
right,
whatever. So, yeah, exactly. And it's probably the last time I'll ever have a lead in a musical, because I have a singing voice that is good for a high school musical, not for a professional.
I'll
when
be
you
the
hear
judge
these people, well, just take it from me. But, the song is just kind of funny. It has all this little kooky wordplay in it. And so I just picked it because it was like, I've arrived. I'm singing Tom, Dick, or Harry in Lexington High School.
So this is sort of almost like a personal anthem, this song.
Well, I mean, not how I live my life, that I will take any Tom, Dick, or Harry, but any Tom, Harry, or Dick, a dick, a dick, a dick. But
right.
I do remember, sidebar, we did Once Upon a Mattress in sixth grade. And I was Lady Larkin, who was in the original thing, was pregnant. But for us, they made it. They had to change all the words.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did that work?
Well, yeah, but there was kind of no comedy left to the part. And I'm still pissed about it.
In a little while, just a little while, you and I will be one, two, three, four. In a little while, I will see your smile on the face of my son to be.
Okay, sidebar. No, I just picked it because I had, like, a theater nerd association with this one.
A proud one for you.
Yes, yes, yes.
When you say theater nerd, you're not saying that in a bashing
way. No, I'm not saying that in
a
bad way.
No.
I just mean that, you know, then I got more into the whole comedy thing and veered away from the musicals. But I've been in the sort
that
of—
That paid off for you, I would add.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been in the whole comedy world for so long. But then actually looking at all these songs and everything, it reminded me that when I first became interested in acting and everything,
yes.
It was the song and dance and let's put on a show and all that stuff. So.
And I think that's probably true for a lot of our listeners. And that's why I'm excited to hear you talk about that.
Okay.
Because I think it's going to resonate for a lot of, it certainly does for me and this song in particular. And also I think because it was Cole Porter's genius way of getting people to just say dick, dick, dick,
yeah.
dick, dick over and over again. I mean, this is one of his more bald-faced odes to dick.
Right.
The other thing that's genius about this is that Because the show is a musical about a musical, about a Shakespeare play, Cole Porter is constantly working with these, like, Renaissance music.
Oh.
And then when it gets sexy, he moves into swing.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and this is also a song from the musical of the musical, in the musical, the inner musical.
Right.
Because there's songs that happen backstage and happen on
yeah.
stage. And this one's happening on stage. So this is part of Shakespeare's play, which is mirrored in the backstage drama.
Okay.
We're going to play the original cast recording because of all the various
recordings.
You mean
you don't have my recording from Lexington High School?
It was available, but sadly it's
that was
foreshortened.
Before the days when anyone recorded anything anyway.
Right.
They were still using
so
like
needles on,
yeah,
on acetate. All right. So this is Lisa Kirk and cast from the original cast recording of Cole Porter's Kiss Me, Kate. This is Tom, Dick, or Harry.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry. Any Tom, Harry, or Dick.
I'm the man thou shouldst marry.
Howdy, Pop.
Howdy, Mom.
I'm the man thou shouldst marry.
Art thou Harry, Dick, or Tom?
I'm the man thou shouldst marry.
Howdy, pal.
Howdy, Chick.
Art thou Tom, Dick, or Harry?
Call me Tom, Harry, or Dick.
I'm a maid.
Maid who would marry and would no longer tarry.
She's a maid.
Maid who would marry. May my hopes not miscarry. She's
I'm
a maid, mad to marry and would take double quick. Any Tom, Dick, or Harry. Any Tom, Harry, or
Dick, Dick, Dick.
A dick, a dick.
Dick, Dick.
A dick, a dick.
Dick, Dick. A dick.
How many times can you say Dick on stage in a Broadway musical?
Even in a High School Musical.
Yeah, well, that was the genius of the tune is everybody gets away with it. God bless Cole Porter. He really knew how to do it. So that was Tom, Dick, or Harry from Cole Porter's Kiss Me, Kate. And, you know, just listening to it again, the layers that dude was working on all at the same time, it's an impossible work of genius, and it comes off just effortless.
And like fun.
Super fun.
Oh,
and
good.
It's a deep cut.
Deep cuts. We're going deep cuts here.
Deep cuts.
Cut stretch. Yeah.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. You won't hear Deep Cut Stratch on any other radio show except The Naked American Songbook with Julian Fleischer. And I'm your host, Julian Fleischer. My guest is Rachel Dratch, television and comedy's own. For lovers of YouTube, you can go watch the film version, which starred Ann Miller in that role. And she's being surrounded by these three guys who are dancing and singing. And one of them is Bob Fosse in one of his early appearances on film. And it's instantly apparent what he's about and how great he is. I love that you brought this tune because I love this song. You brought us a couple big major classics. I'd like to talk with you about Old Man River.
Oh, okay. This one is one like I just love the song.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any like when I was five.
When I was toting bales and picking cotton. This song really got me through the day.
But I just love it. I mean, that's all. This was when I wasn't sure if I should include because I have nothing to say other than that, like, it makes me cry and I love it.
And that's true of the song, no matter who's singing it. I mean, interestingly, you sent me the song, but without any particular performance.
Yeah, I guess I'm not picky.
But that's interesting. And I want to say that our experience here on the show is almost always that people tend to come with a particular performance in mind. I'm really curious.
No,
like,
this is one I actually remember, Theater Nerd Alert, but this is one I remember hearing first in, like, summer theater camp. When we would learn different songs every day. And so, I don't know, I just love the lyrics and the melody of it. And I've never seen Showboat.
The thought of like a bunch of little white campers singing Old Man River together is a little bit of a funny notion. I mean, it's very particular. I mean, Showboat was very much about the issue of race and, you know, about the issue of, well, the post-slavery world.
Like, I'll just sing this in the shower and stuff like that.
Can you hum a few
Not
bars
to
right
give
now?
Give you a visual. Do I have to? I mean,
you
like,
don't have to, but I mean, you know, if you're up for it.
In my mind, I don't think
come
I
can. Come on, just the first one.
What if I bust out like this bass voice, like, River? Okay, like the lyric that always gets me is when he's like, I'm tired of living, but scared of dying. I don't know.
It gives you
I
chills.
I know. Not me singing this one.
No, that was nice, though.
Okay,
I mean, there was something very vulnerable about your rendition there. I actually believe that you are...
I'm tired of living.
Tired of living and scared of dying. You're really giving me tired of living today, Rachel.
New York will do that to you.
No, this is one of those songs that feels like it should be like etched in stone or something. Like, it's hard to imagine it didn't always exist. You know, it's so primal and so simple and yet so impossibly... It's both simple and complex at the same time. I know there's a word for that, probably in German, but I can't think of that either. And it's always associated with Paul Robeson, right, of course. But the version I wanted to play for you, since you didn't give me a version to play, and I think that's a great thing because you're really into the song itself, is the Judy Garland version.
Oh.
Because I think if there's another person for whom a song like this is written, it's Garland.
Wow.
It's incredibly rangy.
I've never heard a woman sing this.
Isn't that?
Besides myself in the shower.
Yeah.
No, I've just never heard a woman sing this.
Well,
I'm about
this is
to.
Not just
I'm
any woman. This
right,
is Judy
exactly.
Garland. I
right.
mean, she sort of transcends gender, you know, mm-hmm. even as she sings. There's something so crazy primal about her. But this is a famous version of hers live on her show.
Okay.
And it's a super rangy song. It starts very low and rises and rises and rises to that line. I think you'll enjoy listening to this.
Okay.
I'm going to watch you.
And then you turn around
to,
and I have tears running down my face.
It's going to happen. I'm going to
really?
Get you to cry, and I'm going to get you to
and
cry.
And I have to blubber, too. I have to be, like, shaking and sobbing when you look over here.
Will you blubber? I love that word.
But I don't want to make fun of it, so I'm not going to blubber.
Oh, no,
I'll
blubber.
Just listen quietly.
She's at the end of her career.
I was sensing that.
I am weary. I'm sick of trying. I'm tired of living. But
Judy Garland singing Jerome Kern and Oscar Hammerstein's masterpiece, Old Man River. Spine tingling, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Yeah, I am.
Do you find it spine tingling? Your reaction is...
Well, I know you wanted me to be like an emotional wreck right now, but...
I really tried to destroy you.
I think, you know what? It's so funny because when I settled my mirror, I just assumed I would hear the original. Somewhere with a rainbow, I implicitly believed it would be the Judy Garland version.
Interesting.
So the Judy Garland's being shuffled around.
Well, when I was thinking about this, because you didn't send me a specific version,
I didn't realize
it's okay.
The game.
If the rules do not appeal to
you,
we will Kobayashi Maru this and turn it upside down. We can change the rules.
I am weary and sick of crying. I'm tired of living.
You tell me we can fight about things on this show.
Of course we can. I encourage your candor.
I guess I've only really heard Paul Robeson's version.
But no, I mean, really like this other version.
No, I mean, I do too. I do too.
It might be interesting to look at a different version of it and then see why the song is so successful regardless.
I'm not trying to mess with the system.
Of course, Deep Cut Stretch does mess with the system. A little later, we will find out how her nascent patriotism began at the Seder table. Why is this night different from all other nights? We're going to find out on the Naked American Songbook. Before we go back to my naked chat with the delightful Rachel Dratch, it's time for...
Nailed It!
Our occasional segment here on the show where I play for you what I believe to be the ultimate rendition of a song from the Great American Songbook, a track that succeeds so spectacularly that I really don't think it ever needs to be recorded again. That track has
Nailed it!
Now, you don't have to agree with me. You can take issue, and if you do, I sure wish you'd tweet me at Naked Songbook or find me on Facebook at Naked American Songbook. Or, of course, you can always call the Naked American Listener line at 347-229-1343. Make your case. Lay it down. Let's see what you have to say, and perhaps we will put it on the air. Right now, I nominate
Totally
Nailed It
in a Sentimental Mood by Duke Ellington. Now, this is one of the highest, most difficult peaks to scale for a singer in the canon. It's rangy, the notes are long, the intervals are weird, and if you're not careful, the vibe can become, well, sentimental. So who nails it? Sarah Vaughan. in front of the Duke Ellington Orchestra as she climbs the melody effortlessly, sublimely. You can feel the hairs on the back of your neck rising with her magnificent voice. I particularly love how the pulse in this recording, usually handled by something like the bass or the drums, is handled by the harp, which cuts through all of the lushness like a knife, if that knife were being wielded by Tinkerbell. Just listen.
In a sentimental mood, I can see the stars come through my room while your loving attitude is like a flame on the wings of every kiss drifts a melody so soft and sweet. In this sentimental bliss.
Holy sh! They
boom, nailed it. Stuck the landing.
Is there anything more beautiful than that in the world? No, that's not a rhetorical question. That's a question with an answer. The answer is no. If you don't agree, however, let me know at Naked Songbook on Twitter and the Naked American Songbook on Facebook. And don't forget the listener line at 347-229-1343. I'm Julian Fleischer. This is the Naked American Songbook. And now back to my chat with Rachel Dratch, star of stage and screen Small and Silver. Rachel was just about to explain to me why Judy Garland meant so much to her.
Like every girl, or and boy, I guess.
Gay boy.
And, oh, man. You said it. Like every
you
human.
It. I no, saw
like
you
every human.
It.
Like every human. Wizard of Oz, it's one of the first movies you see mm-hmm. on TV. It's
right.
like the one that you're like allowed to watch for the first time, even though it's a little bit dark, you know. So I remember seeing this on TV when I was, I don't know, five or something. You know, you see Judy Garland. And as a, I was not a person who was a little kid, like, I want to be an actor when I grow up. Mm-hmm. But I always sort of somewhere in the back of my head was sort of fascinated by movies. And especially when you saw a kid in a movie.
Yeah.
She was, whatever, a teen. But, you know, when you see Annie and you're like, how are they up there slamming those buckets on the stage? So you're like, I want to do that. But you don't really consciously think it. So anyways, seeing her like a younger person in a movie, it was my first sort of like, well, how is she? What is this world of movies? And how is she in this? And, of course, on top of that, her voice is so crazy sublime that I think even as a little kid, you even know that somehow. Like,
yes.
Her voice is just so universally above, you know.
Yeah.
Then on top of all that, then you soon find out. I remember like, oh, and she died because she OD'd and she becomes this like tragic figure. Like I remember finding that out and just being horrified. Then there's this all this like sadness about it too, that like she's not here anymore. So then somewhere over the rainbow, aside from being this song of hope and I'm getting out of the farmlands of Kansas, it's also, even when you're little, you know her story. And so it takes on these sort of subconscious
layers,
levels of
yeah.
sadness. But you also love Wizard of Oz. And like it wasn't like the old days, kids. You could just watch a movie anytime you wanted. It was like it was a once-a-year activity.
Right.
And you had to be there for that television event.
Precisely. It was like Roots. It was like a television event.
Yeah, that and Sound of Music
right.
was like once a year.
And
right.
everybody gathered around. I remember being at the bottom edge of my mother's bed, and there was a TV, you know, like a box. They don't have those anymore either. You know, like a tube,
oh, right.
little tiny tube.
And you had to get up to change the channel.
Yeah.
And there were only three channels.
That's correct.
Or four. I don't know.
Click. And then there was UHF. And VHF, right?
Sound like we're talking about
we sound
the
like
phonograph.
We're, I know, 90-year-old canasta players on some North Miami beach portico just waiting for the Grim Reaper to get here already.
I know. So that was my Somewhere with the Rainbow because it was one of my first associations with the Great American Songbook.
Happy little bluebirds fly.
One other little tidbit about that song, though, a little trivia fact, it was written in the car.
What?
It was the one song, like Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg, who wrote all those songs, had finished it. They'd finished the score. It was going really well, but they knew there was still something missing, and they were trying to get to this song, you know, how to introduce her basic dilemma, and they couldn't come up with it. And one day, he got in the car with his wife at the wheel. This is Harold Arlen, and they were at a stoplight in front of Schwab's in L.A., and he was like, hand me a napkin. And literally, like, on a napkin a pen, he wrote down those first, you know,
body. I love stories like that.
It's incredible. And it has become, I think, by most surveys, the number one song this country ever produced. It's the favorite song of Americans.
What I love about that is that idea of the bolt from the blue.
Right.
Because that's where the best ideas are. And you can't control it. It just has to arrive.
And you have to be open to it.
Yes.
You have to be waiting for it.
Yeah.
And ready to grab it.
Right.
And this is that moment. So, you brought another sort of anthem tune that I don't think anyone's brought that I'm really interested in.
Is it God Bless America?
It is God Bless America, Rachel Dratch.
Okay, no, it's not that I love the song God Bless America, but I have a funny little story, and that is, so my grandfather was an immigrant from what is now Ukraine.
Is that right?
You too. We must be related.
We must be. Are you from the little shtetl of Bar, just on the outskirts of Odessa?
Shoot, I don't know. I think my grandmother's from Odessa. Grandmother's from Odessa area, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They were near Kiev, all my ancestors, both sides. So, because, as you can probably tell, we're Jewish.
I think you're doing a really good job of hiding your Judaism.
We were not Cossacks. No. Well, that
those
version of the Ukrainians. No, by the way, I just offended Ukrainians, because you don't have to be, like, either Jewish or a Cossack.
To be Ukrainian?
We edit this out.
There are other options, yeah.
So I live right near little Ukraine.
Well, it used to be a bigger Ukraine. Now it's all vanishing underneath us, right?
Yeah.
The neighborhood.
Okay.
There it goes.
There goes the neighborhood. Seriously, though, we can take that out.
Okay,
we'll discuss it. I already signed a contract. No, okay. Anyway, what's my point? At the end of our Seder, we always sing God Bless America.
Really?
Yes. After all the Jewish songs, we sing God Bless America because that's my grandfather. Legend has it that that's what they did growing up. Because my grandfather was like, this is the greatest country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad plays the baritone horn. So he busts out the baritone horn, like a euphonium, basically, and plays God Bless America at the end of the Seder.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What?
So because of that, you know, I don't sing God Bless America in the shower. You know what I mean? It's like not a song that it doesn't really give me chills or anything. But because of that story and what it meant to immigrants.
To immigrants close to you, your grandfather.
Yeah.
It was a totally sincere moment at the end of the Seder. I mean, this is how you close the
I mean, it's kind of funny playing the baritone horn. So it's sincere and it's sentiment, but it's kind of done for comedy, I would say. But growing up,
that's a
sincere,
fine line to walk, but you're walking it.
We walk it.
You walk it at the Dratch household.
We do. Yeah.
Are there other comedians in your family?
Well, my dad is very funny, and my brother's a comedy writer too.
Oh, really?
So he lives in LA and, you know, writes for TV and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, shall we listen to God Bless America and see if we can't?
Sure. And now this is funny. One more thing.
Please.
As I was thinking after I sent him my things, I was like, oh, I should have said like the Kate Smith version of God Bless. Like,
is there another version, really?
I don't know. I guess just people singing it, you know, around, like, anthems, like you said. I'm not really into her voice, because to me it sounds like climb every mountain kind of thing.
Yeah,
that
it's very legit, and it's lacking in any soul.
I guess.
It's white.
Yeah.
It's super white.
Yeah, I haven't heard it in a while, but I just don't know.
God bless America, land that I love.
I think it was there was an actual effort, was there not, to replace the national anthem with this song? I think
really?
That's why he wrote it. Yeah.
Oh.
I think there was a decided effort.
So your choices are like bombs or God. Because right now we have bombs.
So, well, our current national anthem doesn't have a really good hook, you know.
No,
it's
that's
hard to
true.
Sing. It's an old drinking
tune. It's not something
tune.
You gather around. I was like America the Beautiful, but that's
I think that's most people's preference, actually. And
it's positive, right?
It's positive, and it's easy
Amber
to sing.
Waves of Grain.
And make beautiful. I mean, the Ray Charles.
Oh, yes.
His version is truly beautiful.
Yes.
Why don't we listen to that?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to switch things up here on the fly on the Naked American Songbook with Julian Fleischer. I'm your host, Julian Fleischer. I'm here with my guest, Rachel Dratch. We just finished having a long conversation about satyrs at her house, where they finished the evening by singing God Bless America, sincerely, but with a comic undertone.
Yes.
And he's one of those people who just, once he does it, it's done.
Yeah.
Don't go back there. Right. It's done.
Yep. Don't go back there. You don't want to go back there.
No, it's... Will you?
Yeah.
We're going to listen to Ray Charles sing America the Beautiful, which is a really great recording.
Far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Above the fruited plain. But now wait a minute, I'm talking about America.
That one actually made you clap. Ray Charles's indelible rendition of America the Beautiful, a poem by Kathleen Lee Bates, as you just informed me, written in 1910.
Because I looked it up.
While
Let's
we
not
were listening
kid ourselves.
To it.
Yeah.
You're not a walking Wikipedia. That would have been pretty impressive.
Oh, my gosh. I would have been really... That was like a Jeopardy question or something.
And we just listened to that instead of putting ourselves through the Kate Smith version of God Bless America.
Putting ourselves through. Yes.
Well, I mean, I think you're right. Her voice was of its time. It's not the sort of one you want to, like, you know, sing in the shower, as you keep saying. I think that's really going to become the working definition of the American songbook.
Well,
if Rachel Dratch sings it in the shower. Yeah, it is. Well, we are naked, are we not?
Yeah. So that's when you're naked, that's what you sing.
I like that.
But I didn't mean to do that.
No, but that's the beauty of it.
It happened, guys.
That's the beautiful,
that's just the
collective unconscious at work.
Yes.
You and I together, lady. We're going to make it happen. Let's talk about a couple of these novelty tunes that you brought in with you, because these are good time tunes.
You must be talking about Nagasaki, a good time tune, believe it or not.
Well, this is Nagasaki before the war.
Before what we think of as Nagasaki. Now, this is another theater association. When I was in college, I was in this show called Broadway by George Abbott. It's a play.
Yeah.
It's not a musical.
Yeah.
And so these were the little incidental songs that were picked by the director at the time.
Like scene change music?
No. I kind of forget this whole play, but the lead was a showman, and so he would sing songs, and we were the little chorus girls behind him. And so he did Olaf and Nagasaki, and we were like in the background with little.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah. And these songs stuck with me all these years, and it's both emotional, fun, and just these songs are just fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also because I didn't love college, but what I found my peeps was in the whole theater thing.
Uh-huh.
And so whenever I hear this, it just reminds me of finding your people and fun people, goofy people.
I understand that.
And you do?
Absolutely. And for me, part of the reason I'm stuck on this music is because of that.
Really?
Because of the sort of Proustian associations I have from like the whole Cole Porter thing, for example. I went to Yale, which is the place Cole Porter went. And Yale takes Cole Porter very seriously. I was in a singing group called Red Hot and Blue. We did Anything Goes, And so I know a lot of Cole Porter songs, but I associate learning them and performing them with some of the people I love the most. To this day, in the same way that you're saying.
Yeah.
I did Anything Goes with Josh Molina. Do you know Josh, who's on Scandal now?
I follow him on Twitter, but I've never
heard
of him.
You have to.
But
if you don't, he will cut you. Hold on, bow, 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 Eli, yeah. We did that show together, and most of our friendship was forged through those songs.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and you don't forget those lyrics.
Right.
Because you don't forget those people.
Exactly.
And theater nerds like you and me, this is where we find ourselves.
And these songs, they're so goofy that they kind of remind me of, I don't know, the kind of people I like and the kind of vibe I like, sort of. So I think that's also why they stuck with me.
And this is why I wanted you on the show, because these kinds of associations, I think, are the heart of why the American Songbook remains durable. Let's listen to Nagasaki, shall we?
Sure.
The Mills Brothers version is fabulous. I mean, they can't be beat for harmonies. And then it's already a fast patter song with lots of cute rhymes. And they like double, triple, quadruple down on that and do some funny scats together that are pretty amazing. Nagasaki, by the way, written by Harry Warren, and it's being rendered at this time by the Mills Brothers. It's going to be great.
She says, I'm hot chicken in this coop. Oh, Maggie, oh, Saggy, oh, Wiggy, Baggy, boo.
Fujama, you get your mama, then your troubles increase, boy.
Irresistible. Mm-hmm. When it says the women wiki wacky woo, what are we to make of that?
I don't know.
That was the Mills Brothers singing Nagasaki, brought to us today by Rachel Dratchenstein. Rachel, thank you so much for bringing in that kooky tune.
Yeah.
You found yourself attracted to funny tunes over
the
years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to go right into the other novelty tune you brought, Rachel.
You ought to hear Olaf laugh. You ought to hear Olaf laugh. Oh, yes. Yes, bring it. I love the scratches. This is perfect.
Olaf was a sailor man was he, and when he sailed the sea, the ocean laughed with glee. Olaf sailed from Norway on the good old ship Sardine. At sailing he was green, but he kept the deck so clean. And all the while you'd see him smile, he chuckled like a child. Until one night when a sudden crash, and everyone went wild. The captain said, "We've struck a whale, he'll sink the ship with his big tail." Oh, you ought to hear Olaf laugh, oh, you ought to hear Olaf laugh. There's only one thing left to do, let's save the ship and sink the crew. Oh, you ought to hear Olaf laugh, laugh. Oh, you ought to hear Olaf laugh. With a ha, 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 and a he, 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 and a great big ho, ho, ho. I laugh, you laugh, just like Olaf, yes?
No.
No.
Yes.
The captain
Perfection.
Said, "You heard me speak."
Have you ever heard this song?
Never.
Oh, okay, good.
You ought to hear Olaf laugh.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Wow, we made Rachel Dratch sweat here in the Naked American Songbook Studios with the memories of performing that as a teenager?
No, I was like 20, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah. That was college, yeah.
I wish the audience could actually see your face. And
I haven't heard this since.
I know. You know. I feel like I'm watching you in a choice moment of group therapy when you're really living it. You're living it. Do you sing this
really
one in
like
the shower naked?
No, but I'm going to tomorrow.
Why wait? Oh, I see you probably already took your shower for today. Right. I tend to shower at night because that's when I need it. And if you are a nighttime shower taker too, wait. Because coming up on the Naked American Songbook, I'm going to play one of my absolute favorite Cole Porter tunes. At the beginning of today's episode, we talked about how music is really all about just getting back home. For her first selection, my guest Rachel Dratch played a Cole Porter song, Tom, Dick, or Harry, from his musical Kiss Me, Kate, in which she appeared as a theatrical up-and-comer in high school. Now, for her final choice, she brings us back home to that same show, to that same character, with a tune that I am glad to say is also one of my very favorite Cole Porter numbers. All right, take us home.
There's so many little punny, poemy, kind of flippy words in here that I really like the song as well.
But this, I mean, she's really the role in this show. I mean, Bianca steals the show because she's got all these great tunes. In the last one that we listened to Lisa Kirk from the original cast. But in this case, I thought it might be fun to listen to Ella Fitzgerald's version because it's always fun to listen to Ella Fitzgerald. Everyone knows that she's the greatest singer who ever lived. And this recording is, for my money, the best recording of it. It's at the right tempo. It's swinging hard. And
oh, good.
There's something interesting about the fact that, you know, the song is so full of innuendo, but Ella isn't so good at delivering that. There's something sort of face value about the way that she renders it
mm-hmm.
that I really enjoy, and it's swinging real hard. Rachel Dratch, won't you join me?
Yes.
In the Naked American Songbook Studios by listening to Ella Fitzgerald sing Cole Porter's Always True to You, Darling, in My Fashion.
If a custom tailored vet asks me out for something wet, when the vet begins to pet, I cry hooray. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. Been asked to have a meal by a big tycoon in steel. If the meal includes a deal, accept I may. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my guess I'm always true to you, darling, in my way.
The inimitable Ella Fitzgerald, Always True to You in My Fashion by Cole Porter. Brought to you today by the delightful Rachel Dratch, also inimitable, also indelible, and also here with us today on the Naked American Songbook. Rachel, how can I thank you for coming and opening up your story to us through the lens of the American Songbook?
You don't have to.
Oh, I don't?
No.
Oh, come on.
No, it was fun.
I really want to thank you.
No, it was cool. Plus, I got to hear Olaf. I haven't heard that in
I'm going to give you this CD as
years.
A parting gift.
Oh, good.
So what are you up to? Just give me one or two things that are exciting to you now about what's happening in your life.
Well, I mean, I have a kid, so I spend most of my time hanging with him because he's just four. So that's how I spend most of my daytime.
Hanging with the kid?
Yeah, hanging with the kid.
You so like that kid?
Fun. Oh, yeah. It's been really fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
No, I kind of enjoy being the stay-at-home mom. It's kind of shifted my whole work ethic. But, you know, he'll be in school more next year, so maybe I'll be going a little stir-crazy and be more motivated.
Great. Well, I mean, lucky for the kid, but the rest of us, you know, we want to see
oh,
you,
well,
we see
thank
you do your thing.
No, I have a few little ideas kicking around in my brain. And I probably will remember something big that I forgot to mention.
Again, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure getting to know
Thanks.
You and your personal songbook.
Thank you.
All right, let's put our clothes back on, Rachel.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you just how many clothes we managed to put back on, but that is it for my conversation with Rachel Dratch. Next week, who better to get naked with than one of the world's great fashion designers, Isaac Mizrahi?
Can I tell you, I think the first moment that I actually lived outside of myself was at Funny Girl, when that opened, and my parents took us to see it at the Ziegfeld Theater.
Oh, you mean the movie?
The movie Funny Girl, yeah. 68. I'd be like 7, right? And I sat there thinking, like, wow, that is something.
Right.
Firstly, some great music. Secondly, some really good lyrics. Thirdly, some amazing costumes, you know? She's so great, isn't she?
Isaac Mizrahi, next time on the Naked American Songbook. Now look, you Naked American listeners, if you're loving us out there, please let us know. Tweet us or Instagram us at Naked Songbook. Find us on Facebook or easy to find. We're also at NakedAmericanSongbook.com. And my favorite, the Naked American Listener Line, 347-229-1343. Don't be shy. Give us a ring. Tell us what you're listening to and what you're wearing while you're listening to it. I also want to let you know that the Naked American Songbook is a production of the Jonathan Channel, WNYC, and WQXR in New York City. Aaron Dalton builds our sets with a vintage Erector set. Ellie Smerling writes playbills in the night. Rachel Neal uses flash photography anywhere she feels like it. Mike Shobe is still disappointed that he'll never be Batman. And Graham Parker operates a multinational conglomerate of theaters, ticketing kiosks, and parking garages. Our theme music is written by me. I'm Julian Fleischer. Thanks for listening. Keep it naked. Dick-a-dick, dick, dick.
Hopes not miscarry.
Nancy Mammy.
And we'll take double quick.